In the epistle for the Feast of St. James, we read, "For if you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus, by the gospel, I have begotten you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen." Today, as I mentioned, is the Feast of St. James the Greater, because he would be the first among the apostles to receive the gift of martyrdom. St. James was one of the favored apostles of our Lord, as we'll see later on in the sermon. He was also the favorite apostle of the Blessed Virgin Mary. She had revealed that very fact. Now, St. James was one of the sons of Zebedee and of Mary Salome. You will see Mary Salome later on standing at the foot of the cross with the Blessed Virgin. St. James was also the brother of St. John the Evangelist, so it was quite a family of saints. Now, as the narration goes, one day, James and John were out mending the nets in their father's boat when Christ passed by. He said two words, "Sacred Amen, follow me." Immediately, this was how well disposed they were to God's grace. Immediately, these two young men, James and John, left the boat and the nets and their father to follow our blessed Lord. And not once did they ever look back. As I mentioned, James was one of the favorites of our Lord, along with Peter and John, because they were chosen to witness certain events in our Lord's public life that not even the other apostles were chosen to witness. For example, they witnessed the raising back to life of the daughter of Jairus. They witnessed the transfiguration of our Lord on Mount Tabor. And they witnessed the beginning of the Passion, the agony in the garden, as our Lord sweat blood for the sins of mankind. So it's clear that he was a chosen soul, even chosen among the chosen. St. Mark says that our Lord nicknamed James and his brother the sons of thunder. And this was explained in this manner, that whenever they preached the gospel, their voice penetrated the hearts of men like the rolling of thunder, and it moved those hearts toward the truth. St. Luke, this is another reason perhaps they are called the sons of thunder. St. Luke says that on one occasion when our Lord was preaching, the Samaritans would not allow Christ to set foot in their city. Now, James became hot with anger. His heart was burning. And he says, "Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" Imagine two things here. The anger, the zeal, maybe perhaps a bit of a bitter zeal, but the zeal that he had for Christ's honor. And secondly, the confidence in the prayer. Should we command fire to come down from heaven? But our Lord responded, because the Sacred Heart's favorite virtues are meekness and humility. He responded that the Son of Man came not to destroy souls, but to save. This is something that we should always remember, that we are not to condemn the personal lives of others. yes, notice when there is sin, but to give them up as lost, that's a whole other story. And we should never despair of our own salvation, because our Lord says it right here in the gospel. I came to save. The spirit of the gospel is not one of vengeance or punishment, but it is that of love and gentleness, which disposes a soul to be converted and saved. Now, St. James, after our Lord had ascended into heaven and the Holy Ghost had come on the first Pentecost, he was the first to leave Jerusalem, the first of the apostles. At first he preached in Jerusalem and all of Judea. But the third place he went, it's interesting, he went back to Samaria, where our Lord had just been kicked out of, and he had been angered over their cruelty, if you will, to our blessed Lord. He returned there because now he understood the spirit of the gospel, not of vengeance, but of a true supernatural charity to save their soul. Eventually, after he left those three countries, three places, he went to Spain. And here's where the story really gets interesting. Now, there is a church in Saragossa that still stands today, which was actually built, according to tradition, by this apostle, St. James. At this time, St. James had been working hard at converting the Spaniards, and they had rejected him, and he was not making many converts. But so one evening, he left the city and stood by one of the rivers to pray in quiet, in silence, all by himself, because he was quite discouraged. Perhaps he even thought of leaving and going back to Jerusalem where Our Lady was. But all of a sudden, the Blessed Virgin Mary, who, by the way, was still alive on earth, living in Jerusalem, so hundreds of miles away, appeared to him, surrounded by angels. And Our Lady was standing upon a pillar. That's why we call that church there, we call it Our Lady of El Pilar, or the Lady of the Pillar. She was standing on a pillar, and she spoke to St. James, "You shall build a church here in my honor, because I know that the inhabitants of Spain will eventually conceive a devotion to me, and I will be their protectress." And so he went back, and he built the church. It had small beginnings, but then century after century, they kept building it till it is the magnificent cathedral that it is today. After many years preaching in Spain, he then returned to Jerusalem. There, several bishops were consecrated and sent back to Spain to finish the work of St. James. But he stayed, he himself stayed in Jerusalem, converted many of the Jews to whom he preached, but many of them actually became enraged and wanted nothing more than to see St. James dead. So they devised a plan. They got together two magicians. Magicians in those times were much different than ours that you call to a party. These used real black magic, diabolical powers. They would call on the demons to do harm to others. So these two magicians were to meet St. James during one of his sermons and to engage him in a public discussion on religion. The goal, the hope, was that they would totally disgrace and embarrass St. James. Good luck with that one. But should they not succeed in doing that, then they were to go to plan B, which was to conjure the devils up to torment St. James. So they began the first plan, two magicians, and they debated with St. James. St. James spoke so eloquently that he converted the first of the two magicians. He gave up, he put his idols aside, he accepted publicly the Christian faith, and then he left with St. James. The second magician went to plan B. He conjured up the devils, and he told them, commanded them to go and seize St. James and the first magician as well, and bring them back, both of them back to me, that I may finish the work. God had other plans. So, by the command of God, the devils turned on the one magician who conjured them in the first place. Chains were bound around his arms and wrists, and he was brought to St. James and the first magician who converted. Now, at that point, here's where it gets really interesting. The apostle turned to the new convert, and he said, he requested him to remove the chains, miraculously, remove the chains from this magician by invoking not your idols anymore, but the name of Jesus Christ. He did so. The chains were broke loose, and the second magician smashed his idols and accepted the Catholic faith. So another plan had to be devised by the Jews. Two Roman centurions were bribed to take this one out. St. James was in a public place preaching once more, and a disturbance was made during that speech. Centurions came out pretending that they were going to quiet all the people, the malefactors, but instead they went to arrest St. James. And they succeeded at last and brought him to King Herod, who, of course, as you know, wanted nothing more than to see the apostles dead. So here he was sentenced to be beheaded. Along the way to his execution, they say that James showed such great calm and fearlessness that it converted the very one who arrested him, who had thrown the rope around his neck. His name was Josiah. And along the way, he begged St. James for pardon. And St. James simply said, "Peace be to you. I forgive you, my friend." And they went off to martyrdom together. St. James was the first apostle to die. Now, what is it that we can learn from this saint? A few things, I think. One concerns his call. When he was in that boat with his family, with his profession, and our Lord said, "Follow me," there was no hesitation. They left their father, their nets, their boats, their fish, and they followed our Lord for the rest of his life and now for all eternity. The second is this. Why was St. James the favorite apostle of Our Lady? Because he was a generous giver. He was the first to give. He would give. He was brave, he was bold, and he was a warrior. He had a generous heart. He would give anything for her divine son. Generosity in the spiritual life is something that we all must have. we cannot live as lukewarm Catholics or Catholics that are okay with the status quo. You must have your goals and challenge yourself each and every day to get better. Once you lose that spirit of generosity, or as I like to call it, an adventuresome spirit, then you will no longer progress. We must maintain in our souls that spirit of generosity, to always give more, not to see just how far I can go in doing something before I commit mortal sin. That's a bad attitude. It should always be, what more can I do above and beyond for our blessed Lord? That heart of generosity will win Our Lady's heart. Our Lady will take you and shield you under her mantle, and with Mary at your side, you'll eventually save your soul, becoming a very great saint in the kingdom of heaven. St. James the Apostle, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.